cycle. The composer, Frank Furco, was the organist. Good morning. It is 10 a.m. on Wednesday, May 2nd, and you are tuned to WPRB Princeton, New Jersey, community-supported independent radio at 103.3 FM or online around the world at www.wprb.com. Welcome to another edition of Classical Discoveries. I am your host, Marvin Rosen, and I'm with you for this program every Wednesday between 5:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. I do switch gears at about 11 a.m. with more modern and electronic works on Classical Discoveries Goes Avant-Garde. Thank you so much for joining me today. Well, I am here for another hour with Frank Furco, and welcome back. It's great to have you, and I mean, we've had some wonderful conversations off mic.
We sure have. This is great.
It has been a wonderful morning, and let's go, though, to people or our listening audience who are interested in learning more about you. You do have a website.
I do have a website.
And the address is?
www.frankfurco.com.
And that's Furco, F-E-R-K-O.
Yes.
frankfurco.com, and also there will be a link to your website on the playlist for today's show on my website, so it'll get linked right to that. And I hope many people will be interested in checking that out. Now let's go now, Frank, to your output. We've been listening to music for choirs, we've been listening to organ music, but you've written a number of other works as well.
I have, yes.
How would you compare, let's say, works, chamber works, orchestral pieces, to choral works and organ music? Do you work any differently? Do you write any differently?
There's a certain amount of difference. In many cases, it depends on who I'm writing for. People ask me to write things, and I have to look at or have to consider what instruments are involved, or if it's voice with instruments or whatever. And an orchestral piece, there certainly is a lot to play with in an orchestra, lots of colors, instruments, and all. I'm a big fan of counterpoint, and back when I was an undergraduate student, I studied a lot of counterpoint. And so when I have a group of instruments to work with, I do like to write things like fugues and canons and play around with inverted things and have a good time with that. If there are a lot of instruments involved, I also like to play with harmonic color. And so there will be a certain amount of complexity in the harmonies in any orchestral piece that I write. The smaller scale pieces may be a little bit more, a little simpler in their construction. Certainly counterpoint plays a part in those as well. I mean, you can write counterpoint even for a single instrument. Bach did it. And
sure.
So it's something that's very doable. So I enjoy playing with counterpoints. And I have used that in some of the smaller scale pieces as well.
Sounds great. Well, we are going to listen now to a totally different work of yours.
Okay.
This is a composition for flute and guitar titled Constellations. It was written in 1999.
Yes.
Frank, why don't you take over and tell us a bit about it?
The piece had its origin really with a phone call. There was a flute player in Minneapolis, Susan Morris DeYoung, who was one of two of an ensemble called Duologue, and her partner was the guitarist Jeffrey Van. And they took great interest in commissioning new works. They had heard a radio broadcast of one of my choral pieces, and Susan called me up on the phone and said, would you write a piece for us, for flute and guitar? And so we discussed it, and so I decided to do that. And she said she was actually commissioning a whole group of pieces, and they would eventually put them all on a recording, which I thought was pretty terrific. So I was glad to be a part of that project. And we talked about the length of the piece. Many years ago, I took a big interest in astronomy, and I think some of that comes back to me every now and then. And so when I was thinking about this piece, I thought, let's just do something that has a connection with astronomy. I don't know why it hit me that way, but it did. And so I decided I picked five different constellations. I researched the stories behind the figures of those constellations and then tried to incorporate some aspect of that into the piece that I wrote. So there's a certain amount of extra musical activity going on in there. Just so, as one example, I mean, Gemini is the second movement, and they're the twins. And so I did write a piece of counterpoint where there is there's a canon involved in there, so that the twins are kind of mirroring back and forth in that piece. And in that piece, actually, I used one of Messiaen's modes in creating the melody. So there's a little bit of Messiaen in there as well.
It all comes back. It all merges together.
Yeah. So then the final piece in the set is Aquarius, and Aquarius was the water bearer, and he had a difficult life, and so I decided I was going to let him dance, and so I made that into a tango. So it's just a nice little piece to end the whole set with. But the other three also have their own little interesting aspects, mm-hmm. and I think maybe it's best just to listen to the music.
And we will.
Okay.
We listen now to flutist Susan Morris DeYoung and guitarist Jeffrey Van. The ensemble is named Duologue, and we listen to Constellations, written in 1999 by my guest, Frank Furco.
Thank you.
Music by my guest Frank Furco. You are listening to his Constellations, dating from 1999, as performed by Duologue. The flutist was Susan Morris DeYoung, and the guitarist was Jeffrey Van, a Gasparo compact disc. I would like you to know that you can visit my website if you want more detailed information about any of the selections played today on Classical Discoveries or Classical Discoveries Goes Avant-Garde. The address of my site is www.classicaldiscoveries.org. The detailed playlists for both programs today will be posted by this evening. Also, if you have any comments or questions or would like to just simply get in touch, I would love to hear from you. Feel free to email me directly at MarvinRosen@ClassicalDiscoveries.org. Again, that's MarvinRosen@ClassicalDiscoveries.org. We will be listening to more music of Frank Furco. In fact, that's where we are going now. This is one of his six Marion motets. You were just listening to O Frondens Virga, one of the six Marion motets by my guest, Frank Furco. In our performance, Leo Nestor conducted the American Repertory Singers, an Arsis compact disc. Well, I am here back with Frank Furco. Frank, it's great to have you here. And let's go now to some of the upcoming events in your musical life, I guess you could say. What's coming up in the upcoming season?
There are some exciting things coming up. The group in Chicago, originally called His Majesty's Clarks, now called Bella Voce, the group that commissioned my Stabat Mater, is going to open their season in the fall with performances of the Stabat Mater. Every few years they bring it back, and so this is one of those years. In early December, a group in Seattle, the Esoterics, conducted by Eric Banks, will be doing four performances of the complete, all of the Hildegard motets that I've written. There was the original set of nine, and then the triptych, and then there were a few additional ones, so there's a total now of 15. And the Esoterics have performed them before. A couple of years ago, they did the entire set. They're the only group in the world that's ever done all of them. And they got a really good response from that, so they're doing them again this coming December.
That's very exciting.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm currently working on a newly commissioned work for the South Bend Chamber Singers in South Bend, Indiana, a work in four movements for chorus and string quartet.
Oh, nice.
And it's based on the four seasons. They're going to do a whole concert all about seasons and weather and things like that, so I'm having fun with this piece.
Sounds good.
Yeah, yeah.
So it sounds like you've got your work cut out for you, of course.
I do.
And with performances, other things I'm sure that have been written already.
Oh, sure. You know, yes.
Always that. There's always that as well. Well, we're going to go to your Stabat Mater in just a little while, but let's go to another instrumental composition. We're going to listen to your piece called Nebulae.
Yes.
And tell us a bit about it and who our performers are.
The piece is written for alto saxophone and organ, which is a somewhat unusual combination. Organists and saxophonists don't usually work together, but sometimes they do. And I think the result is actually pretty exciting. I was asked to write this piece back in 1997 for a student of Frederick Hemke, who was on the faculty at Northwestern University. And the student was Gail Levinsky. She was performing it, or she was going to perform it at a conference, and she knew I was an organist, so she asked me to write a piece for alto saxophone and organ, and she did premiere it at this conference. Then later, her teacher, Frederick Hemke, became very interested in the piece, and so he collaborated with the organist Douglas Cleveland, and they put together a compact disc, and Nebulae is one of the pieces on this disc. They performed it, they recorded it at Alice Millar Chapel at Northwestern, and it was that organ for which I wrote the piece originally, and that makes a difference with organ pieces because of the registration and the acoustical setting and all of that. It makes a difference. And so all of the registration, everything was geared specifically for that instrument, and so they were able to perform it that way. So the piece has basically two parts. There's a loud section at the beginning, so it begins quite loudly, and then it tapers off and becomes very lyrical towards the end.
Well, we hear it now. Music by my guest, Frank Furco. were just listening to Nebulae, a composition by my guest Frank Furco. In our performance, the alto saxophonist was Frederick L. Hemke and was joined by organist Douglas Cleveland. Well, Frank, it's great to have you back, and we are going to go now to selections from your, I guess, your most extensive work. Your, if you wanted to say you, this is your a major work, your most major work, this would be it.
Yes, absolutely.
The Stabat Mater. It's a composition which is, well, almost an hour long.
Right.
And what would you like to say about the composition, how it was came into being, and before we hear it?
The piece came into being, it started with a phone call from the choral conductor, Ann Hyder, who conducted His Majesty's Clarks in Chicago. And I had already written the Hildegard motets for this group, and she called me up and said, how would you like to write something else? And she suggested a couple of things. A Magnificat setting was one of her suggestions, and then she mentioned Stabat Mater, and that really clicked with me. And so we talked about it, and she also suggested that in addition to setting the 20 stanzas of Latin text, that I also include some additional pieces that could be interpolated into the context of the Stabat Mater. And those interpolated pieces would be up to me. I could pick my own texts and all. So I found 5 texts, all in English, that relate basically to people who are dying very young. Mm. I mean, the Stabat Mater is all about the crucifixion and when Jesus was dying and his mother is standing there and she's watching him die slowly. And it's a horrible scene. And there are things like that that go on, that have gone on all through history. I mean, people, you know, young people who die in war, people who die in street fights, people who die from disease. And so I found some other texts from different time periods. One of them, titled The Mother, was written by the Irish poet Patrick Pearse, who was one of the people involved with the 1916 Easter Rebellion in Ireland, and he was actually executed after that. But he wrote this poem while he was in prison there, and about a mother who loses her 2 sons in warfare. There another set of poems, a short set that I interpolated, was about a mother who had lost her son to AIDS. Mm. And the last interpolated piece in the whole work is about a little girl who dies from drowning. So there are different types of death of young people that I dealt with in these interpolated texts. As you mentioned, the piece takes about an hour. It's all a cappella, and it's written for a mixed chorus and a soprano soloist.
And we're going to hear, I guess, 5 sections from this, including, well, the mother is the one, the English one, in the middle of some of the Latin texts.
Okay.
So why don't we go to this? This is music by my guest, Frank Furco. We listen to selections from his Stabat Mater.
Mater, 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 mater
His Majesty's Clarks, conducted by Ann Hyder, just performed excerpts from the Stabat Mater by my guest, Frank Furco. Well, Frank, we are just about done, but before we sign off, let's talk about something unrelated to music, and that has to do with your interests outside of music. What do you enjoy doing?
I enjoy a lot of things. I have friends all over the place, and I like traveling, so I've traveled around the country. I like traveling to Europe and visiting people. When I'm at home, I really enjoy reading, and I've taken a great interest in the writings of Gertrude Stein. She was a big, almost an obsession of mine back in the 1980s, and I started collecting books of Stein, and I've even set a few of her texts to music. But Stein and other American authors, I've enjoyed reading, and I like exploring the classics as well. So I have a very comfortable chair, and I just like to curl up in the chair and sit there and read, and it's really a nice thing. I think all too often, all the hustle and bustle of life just kind of deprives us of that kind of time to sit and just relax and read. And
There's always something to do.
Yes. So there's plenty of reading material out there. So I keep collecting the books. I enjoy those a lot. I do go to concerts. I enjoy opera a lot. I enjoy the theater. And I have friends in New York who are big theater fans, and so we get together from time to time and go take in shows of various types, sometimes big things and sometimes very small experimental things, and it's just kind of fun to do.
That sounds great. Well, Frank, I want to thank you so much for coming down.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure being here.
It was great to have you, and I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
It was great. Well, we're going to sign off now with one more selection by my guest, Frank Furco. We listen to Nunc Gaudium from the Hildegard Motets. Once again, Leo Nestor conducts the American Repertory Singers. Music by my guest, Frank Furco.